Hello everyone, this is Naresh Rapullu. I'm going to talk about how to extend data-centric programming to allow side effects, thereby extending the application scope beyond data parallelism. If you see the limitations of the current data-centric programming models, like MapReduce, Triad, and any of these variants, the fundamental limit is that in every phase, there is explicit data parallelism. That is, for example, in the map phase, a map job, map task, or map function scope cannot communicate with any other map. This is good for data parallel applications, but we know that not all applications in this world are data parallel. In fact, it's good to have side effects. You cannot have side effects in data-centric programming model mainly because of the deterministic replay-based fault tolerance that they employ. As an example, just let's take the word count MapReduce job, but to incorporate side effects, let's say the count of words is written to a persistent storage, distributed persistent storage, from which other map tasks or any other jobs can read. So let's say in the first execution, you counted the first three words, written their counts, and then you fail. And when you replay this map, you would end up counting the first three words again, which leads to inconsistency in the application semantics. That is an example of side effects not working with deterministic replay. But we do need side effects. Side effects are good for sharing data across computations. Let's take the example of finding the minimum spanning tree of a graph. A very basic algorithm such as this does not have a data parallel implementation. You can the thing which comes close to is the Broca's algorithm to find the MST. In this algorithm, every iteration coalesces a node with its closest neighbor. And by coalescing, I mean you edge contract the adjacency list. If you take the graph shown here, the red nodes cannot compute their iterations in parallel because one depends on the other, whereas any red node and a blue node can execute these iterations in parallel. So in this kind of setting, what happens is you can execute non-dependent iterations in parallel, whereas dependent iterations has to be serialized. But the problem is you can detect those data dependencies only at runtime. In this case, you could have logged your entire neighborhood, but that would limit parallelism because the red and blue guys are actually neighbors, but still they can execute in parallel. So only runtime conflict detection helps in this case. The parallelism, such as what I've mentioned in the MST algorithm, is generally termed amorphous data parallelism or speculative parallelism or optimistic data parallelism. A very good survey of applications exhibiting this form of parallelism came out recently called the Tau of Parallelism in PLDI 11. For the past 5-6 years, Keshav Pingali and group have been looking at this, and surprisingly, they found that a number of major applications exhibit this form of parallelism. And side effects also help in online algorithms where the result has to be immediately available to any other task everywhere else. So the question is, how can we enable side effects while accounting for the fault-prone environments in which MapReduce executes? So a solution architecture that we came up looks something like this. We still do not allow all side effects, but we can allow side effects only on to a persistent distributed key value store. And that is the first key idea. The second key idea is any data-centric operator, say map, reduce, merge, group, co-group that have been present, they all have to be executed as a transaction. So the paper has the formal semantics of how you can accomplish this with putting in mind only the map and fold, but you can extend it to any other data-centric operators. So once again, I'll give you a brief overview of it. Every data-centric operator is executed as a transaction, and the output is written to the global store. And so the only side effects possible are put and get to the global store, other than the thread local operations, which do not have any side effects. In our case, we employed an optimistic concurrency control for these transactions, wherein the reads are optimistic and the writes are buffered. And only after the successful completion of the transaction the write buffer is validated against concurrent transactions, and if there is no conflict, they're committed to the global store. And once it gets committed to the global store, anyone else can see that. So if you take the same example in terms of the MST algorithm that I've shown, all the iterations keep progressing, and if any two iterations conflict, that is, they happen in parallel, one gets serialized after the other. You should know that the consistency level here is serializability. It can be relaxed, but that is an application-specific optimization. In general, you expect serializability for the application semantics. The data flow here is slightly different to the data flow which we are used to in MapReduce and other ways, where it is streaming kind of data flow, where the map output goes to the reduce over the network. But here, we push it to a global store, and then everybody else pulls it from the global store, because we need a transactional semantics. Something similar came up even in MapReduce Online that was presented last year in SDI, but it had a big drawback, wherein if the number of consumers are really large, there was heavy checkpointing going on when you transfer from a map to a reduce. But this model is another way of achieving the same thing, but improved scalability inside of the consumer, because if one producer pushes it onto the global store, a million consumers can read it from the global store. So you do not need heavy checkpointing, depending on the number of consumers. I look at some of the design principles here, which are not just useful in this case, but any other programming models where transactions are usually used. We chose optimistic concurrency over pessimistic locking. That is mainly because in a heterogeneous environment like clouds, the client could potentially be executing on the slowest node in the system. So if the client starts to acquire locks, and then it hinders parallelism and does not allow execution of other transactions, which will go through in the case of optimistic concurrency control, because there are no locks acquired. And because there are distributed transactions involved here, you get back to the CAP theorem. And in this case, we have to choose consistency, because you never know. The application semantics most often mandate strict consistency. Some applications may not, but it's again an application-specific optimization. We cannot take it for granted. A general framework cannot take it for granted. Availability is an interesting question here. Availability for, say, a web-scale, web-based distributed transactions is very important. You cannot say, I'll just forgo this transaction for a while. But in this case, with MapReduce or the TransMR programming model, I should say, the clients can sustain non-availability of storage for a while, because though you want the job to terminate as soon as possible, but still it is still a batch-oriented job, so the client can handle network partitions and non-availability for a while. So the basic thing is, if there is a network partition, everything halts, and until the storage and clients come up, the system pauses. But at the same time, consistency is not violated. We've evaluated this programming model using Hadoop and HBase. We've built a prototype of it. When I'll show you in the evaluation, I'll show two applications. One is the minimum spanning tree that I already discussed, and the other is a maximum flow computation using the Pish-reliable algorithm. Both of them have the same amorphous data parallelism. So in the minimum spanning tree algorithm, we found that on 16 nodes, you could end up getting speed up close to 4 with less than 0.5% nodes re-executing because of conflicts. This is significant in the sense that the algorithm was inherently considered sequential because of data dependencies. Here, we are able to extract parallelism at a distributed scale and still get heavy improvements in spite of the conflicts and re-executions due to transactions. And the same thing holds even for the maximum flow using Pish-reliable. In fact, this is the Pish-reliable algorithm is the most used algorithm to compute a maximum flow in any large graph. So we took a million node graph and then executed in this programming model. And even here, we found almost a speed up of close to 4.5 and on 16 nodes. There are a few more larger percentage of re-executions here, but it still gains heavy improvement. So the thing to take home here is that we are already used to programming in a data-centric manner. So all the dryad, MapReduce, and stuff. The programmer only bothers about the operation on the input data. What we hear say is that the runtime should also give support to transactional support on these data operators, so that the programmer can still code his application in a data-centric way and still not be bothered about runtime conflicts. The many ideas in here are motivated from the software transactional memory literature, but you could say this is analogous to a distributed software transactional memory with a data-centric programming model imposed on it. And as I said, you could now code in applications, many applications which are not lent to a data parallelism, and still extract significant parallelism out of it. Thank you.
Simple clarification question. On your one node case, what did you use as a baseline? Did you use your parallelized implementation or did you use the serial one?
It is a serial one. There is no parallel. And on one node, you have to execute everything in sequential.
But had you taken out the overheads that your algorithms might have introduced?
No. It is without transactions. You don't need transactions over there.
I know.
Yeah, it's just a sequential implementation.
Let's